This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Chapter 1. The Imperative. To Know Your Lord. The title that I chose for this work is Know Your Lord. There are two keywords in this title. The commanding verb know and the object, Lord. The commanding verb know refers to acquiring knowledge through reading and studying. This means to apply the first command the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received from the Archangel Gabriel alayhi salam. If one is unable to read, he can still obtain knowledge through attentiveness to one whose character exemplifies nobility. In the case of our Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was illiterate, he learned from the recitation of the Archangel Gabriel, alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "It is not but a revelation revealed, taught to him by one intense in strength, that is, Gabriel. Surat An-Nujum, verse 4 to 5. The object, your Lord, refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine Lord of Prophet Abraham, alayhi salam, who created us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah created you and that which you do. Surat As-Safat, verse 96. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates all that we do, and He began His revelation in the Quran with a command for us to read and to learn with His permission. The first subject mentioned after the command to learn is knowledge of our Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created us and facilitates for us our ability to do all things, amongst them reading and learning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, recite, in the name of your Lord, who created man from a clinging substance. Recite, and your Lord is the most generous, who taught by the pen, taught man that which he knew not. Al-Alaq, verse 1-3. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said, since Allah is the Lord and Sovereign of everything, and He is the Master and Giver of all knowledge, just as He is in the origin of everything that exists, likewise, knowledge of Him is the root of all knowledge. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, the student of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said, whoever knows Allah knows everything other than Him. Whoever is ignorant of his Lord is even more ignorant of everything other than Him. Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, depicted the same understanding in the arrangement of his book, Sahih al-Jami'ah, the most authentic book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, began his book with a section titled The Beginning of Revelation, and then he followed it with chapters on faith, Iman, followed by the chapter on knowledge. This arrangement suggests that al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, meant to emphasize that the first obligation upon a human being is faith, Iman, and the way to attain it is through knowledge. And the source of faith, Iman, and knowledge is the revelation. The arrangement is not by accident. Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, made some important points with such an arrangement. In this chapter, we will briefly present three main reasons why we must learn about our Lord. We are aiming to inspire every Muslim to embark on the journey of acquiring knowledge of faith, Iman, particularly the things which allows us to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter, Akhirah, including paradise, Jannah, and hellfire, Jahannam. The three reasons are as follows. 1. Knowing our Lord precedes the Quran. 2. Knowing our Lord inspires compliance. 3. Knowing our Lord is a means of da'wah, call to Islam. Knowledge of faith, Iman, precedes the Quran. The following statements confirm that every Muslim must comprehend the basic tenets of faith, Iman, before embarking on learning the explanation of the Quran. Tafsir al-Quran. There are six articles of faith, Arkan al-Iman, which include belief in one God, Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, angels, divinely revealed books, the prophets, the Day of Judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the divine predestination, Al-Qadr. Notice that the first article of faith, Iman, is the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This belief begins with learning about Him. And this was the practice of the companions, Sahaba, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jundub bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, "We were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we were strong youths, so we learned about faith, Iman, before we learned the Quran. Then we learned the Quran, and our faith, Iman, increased thereby." Similarly, Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu anhu reported, "A man came to the Messenger of Allah, and he said, 'O Messenger of Allah, I recite the Quran, but I do not find that my heart understands it.' The Prophet said, 'Verily, your heart is filled with faith, Iman, and faith, Iman, is given to a servant before the Quran.'" Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, commented on this concept. His position is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord and Sovereign of everything, the Master and Giver of all knowledge, remembrance of Him and knowledge of Him is the root of all knowledge. After this recognition, the Quran gives detailed knowledge and increases faith, Iman, as Jundub bin Abdullah al-Bajali radiallahu anhu and the other companions, Sahaba, said. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said, "Accordingly, the more the heart knows, believes in, and practices what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have ordered, the more a person's faith, Iman, increases, even if that person has a general adherence and general verbal confession. Similarly, if someone knows Allah's names, as well as their meanings, and believes in them, his faith, Iman, is more perfect than that of someone who does not know, but believes in them generally, or someone who knows only some of them. Hence, the more one knows Allah's names, attributes, and verses, ayat, the more perfect his faith, Iman." Knowledge of faith, Iman, inspires a disciplined compliance. As mentioned above, faith, Iman, increases the knowledge in the heart, and the practice on the tongue and the lips. The practice is performed through the actions of worship as learned from revelation. Who do we worship? Who do we bow to? Who do we prostrate to? The answer to all these questions must be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. But this certainty, yaqeen, of faith, Iman, is increased by what we know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as our actions improve from knowing and responding to our Lord. Now think, if we know more about Him, how much we would enjoy our worship. We wouldn't do it just because it is mandatory, but because our hearts would desire to worship our Lord. The following are situations which confirm the knowing the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His attributes, actions, and sovereignty over the Day of Judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the hereafter, Akhirah, are inspirations and motivations for a believer to comply with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are pieces of evidence of the necessity to know our Lord. Hijab, khimar, and intoxicants, khamr. The mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha, confirms that knowledge of the articles of faith, Arkan al-Iman, such as the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, paradise, and hellfire, inspires the Muslim to comply with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The result is that the Muslim will have the intention to take the effort to save himself from the hellfire, Jahannam, and enter paradise, Jannah. Aisha, radiallahu anha, said, be informed that the first thing that was revealed thereof was a chapter, surah, from Al-Mufassal, and in it was mentioned paradise, Jannah, and the hellfire, Jahannam. When the people embraced Islam, the verses, ayat, regarding legal and illegal things were revealed. If the first thing to be revealed was, do not drink alcoholic drinks, people would have said, we will never leave alcoholic drinks. And if there had been revealed, do not commit illegal sexual intercourse, they would have said, we will never give up illegal sexual intercourse. Our mother is hinting that knowing what a believer will receive of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bliss in paradise can become positive enforcement to comply with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the knowledge of the hellfire becomes the negative enforcement to abandon the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the years 1920 to 1933, the United States underwent a national campaign to prohibit alcohol. The caring politicians initiated such a noble cause to decrease evil and corruption, solve social problems, reduce the tax burden created by prisons and poor houses, and improve health and hygiene in America. Unfortunately, the results of that attempt indicate that it was a miserable failure on all counts. The failure was because the prohibition was not preceded by faith, Iman. A similar campaign took place in Mecca, which was gradually implemented over the same length of time. This campaign successfully motivated the Muslims to spill alcohol drinks and abstain because of faith, Iman. Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, I used to offer alcoholic drinks to the people at the residence of Abu Talha. Then the order of prohibition of alcoholic drinks was revealed, and the Prophet ordered somebody to announce that. Abu Talha said to me, go out and see what this voice, this announcement is. I went out, and on coming back said, this is somebody announcing that alcoholic beverages have been prohibited. Abu Talha said to me, go and spill it, that is the wine. Then it, alcoholic drinks, was seen flowing through the streets of Al-Madinah. The voice was announcing that a verse, ayah, was revealed, which completely prohibited alcohol. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who have believed, indeed intoxicants, gambling, sacrificing on stone altars, to other than Allah, and divining arrows, are but defilement from the work of shaitan, Satan, so avoid it, that you may be successful. One should ask, why the divine campaign to prohibit alcohol worked, while the prohibition in the US failed? The human initiative failed, while the divine prohibition succeeded, as those who know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe in Him, love Him, fear Him, and know that a manifestation of their exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to adhere to His commands. Another statement by the mother of the believers, Aisha, radiallahu anha, confirms the decisive compliance of the early Muslims from the immigrants to a command such as wearing the proper hijab, Islamic veil for women. The compliance was absolute, since they were brought up in monotheism, Tawheed, and had learned that faith, Iman, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be followed with action. Aisha, radiallahu anha, said, may Allah have mercy on the early immigrant, Muhajir woman, when Allah revealed, O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to draw their cloaks, veils, all over their bodies, that is, screening themselves completely, except the eyes or one eye to see the way. That will be better, that they should be known as free, respectable women, so as not to be annoyed. And Allah is ever oft forgiving, most merciful. They tore their coarse wraps and covered themselves with them. The Qibla. Another story to be told in this context involves the change of the direction of the Qibla. The Qibla is the direction towards the Kaaba. In Mecca, that Muslims face when performing prayers, salah. In fact, it is one of the conditions that must be fulfilled to validate the prayers, salah. Al-Aqsa Mosque, Baytul Maqdis in Jerusalem, was the divinely decreed Qibla at the beginning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission. The Muslims used to face Al-Aqsa Mosque, Baytul Maqdis in Jerusalem, during their prayers, salah, while they were in Mecca. However, they would stand south of the Kaaba during prayers, salah, so that they could face both the Kaaba and Al-Aqsa Mosque, Baytul Maqdis in Jerusalem, concurrently. After the migration, Hijra, to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, Sahaba, continued praying while facing the Al-Aqsa Mosque, Baytul Maqdis in Jerusalem, and thus they had to turn away from the Kaaba, since Medina is located on the north of Mecca and south of Jerusalem. Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu explained, when the Prophet came to Al-Madina, he stayed first with his grandfathers or maternal uncles from Ansar. He offered his prayers, salah, facing Al-Aqsa Mosque, Baytul Maqdis in Jerusalem, for 16 or 17 months, but he wished that he could pray facing the Kaaba at Mecca. Though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have loved to have the Qibla changed to the Kaaba, he did not utter a word of request and continued obeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have certainly seen the turning of your face, O Muhammad, towards the heaven, and we will surely turn you to a Qibla with which you will be pleased. So turn your face towards Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Mecca. And wherever you believers are, turn your faces towards it. Indeed, those who have been given the scripture well know that it is the truth from their Lord, and Allah is not unaware of what they do. When the Qibla was changed to the direction of the Kaaba, it became a test for the Muslims and the people of the book, Ahl al-Kitab, in Medina. It was a test to see who truly obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who disapproved. Al-Bara radiallahu anhu explained in the same narration as above, Jews and the people of the scriptures used to be pleased to see the Prophet facing Jerusalem in prayers, salah. But when he changed his direction towards the Kaaba during the salah, they disapproved of it. Allah said, we did not make the Qibla which you used to face except that we might make evident who would follow the messenger, from who would turn back on his heels. And indeed, it is difficult, except for those whom Allah has guided. True enough, there are those who ridiculed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he changed his prayer direction from Al-Aqsa Mosque, Baytul Maqdis in Jerusalem, to the Kaaba in Mecca. However, those who truly believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately obeyed the command and faced the direction that pleased the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu said, then one of those who had offered that prayer, salah, with him came out and passed by some people in a mosque who were bowing during their prayer facing Jerusalem. He said, addressing them, by Allah, I testify that I have offered prayer, salah, with Allah's messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, facing Mecca, Kaaba. Hearing that, the people changed their direction towards the Kaaba immediately. Notice the disciplined compliance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, Sahaba, who immediately adhered to the commands without any hesitation. Knowing your Lord is a means of da'wah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Mu'adh radiallahu anhu to Yemen, he said to him, you are going to some of the people of the book, Ahl al-Kitab. Call them to bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that I am the Messenger of Allah. If they accept that, then teach them that Allah has enjoined on them 5 prayers to be offered each day and night. If they accept that, then teach them that Allah has enjoined on them charity, zakah, to be taken from their rich and given to their poor. If they accept that, then beware of taking the best of their wealth, and protect yourself from the supplication of the one who has been wronged, for there is no barrier between it and Allah. It is very important to learn the fundamentals as the caller to Islam. Da'i, who knows Allah Jalla Jalalu, can invite with conviction and with the most beautiful revealed words with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described himself. He calls to a Lord who is in possession of the most perfect and majestic attributes. Hence, calling without knowledge is an injustice to the exalted status of our Lord. The value of a subject is known by the virtues of the associated attributes. We see that medical doctors are highly paid because the subject of human well-being is valuable to ensure the dignity and honor of the creation to whom the angels prostrated. The attributes of the human are exceptional as an intelligent creation who can choose to use its faculties for worship. A medical doctor is competent with his or her patient if he knows the attributes of the human subject. Any subject is described with a specialized language, and the one who is proficient with this language is the individual who begins with knowledge and invites others to appreciate its virtues. In the following beautiful statement, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, exemplifies the concept that is known by da'wah, that inviting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with knowing Him by His attributes. Far is He removed from having anything comparable to Him or any equal, free from all kinds of defects and imperfection, qualified with every beautiful name and every perfect attribute, doer of what He intends, wills, above everything and with everything. The one who is able to do everything, the one who manages the affairs of everything. He commands and forbids. He speaks the legislative, diniya, and universal, kauniya, words. He is greater than everything, and He is the most beautiful, the most merciful, the all-able, the all-wise.